This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey everyone, it's Dr. Jimmy. Welcome to episode 110. Before we get going, I want to ask that you guys please go leave me a rating and a review for this podcast. And if you're not already following me on social media, please go to Facebook or Instagram or both and give me a follow. You can find me by searching at Dr. Jimmy. That's at DRJYME. All right. I have had quite a few listener requests for an episode on body weight and obesity and easy keepers and just, you know, how to handle those type of horses. I think the first thing to understand is whether or not your horse is indeed overweight. And it seems like most horse people have historically classified horses one of two ways, either underweight or just right? It hasn't really been until fairly recently that this idea of an overweight horse has really come into play. Research is uncovering more in terms of how, you know, this excessive body weight can actually negatively affect a horse. And in turn, horse owners are becoming increasingly aware that there are really three ways that you should be classifying your horse: underweight, just right, or overweight. In fact, most horse owners and even veterinarians tend to underestimate body weight of a horse when using only visual assessment. So I think it's important that we first maybe kind of walk through, let's call it, the scientifically accepted ways of assessing a horse's weight and their body condition. Of course, livestock scales are going to be the most accurate method for determining body weight of a horse, but they only tell you a number, right? They don't tell you if that number is healthy. In addition, they are not easily accessible by most horse owners. So this poses two questions. The first, is it really that important to know the body weight of a horse? And then secondly, without having access to a scale, are there other ways to make an educated estimate of a horse's body weight? Well, the truth is that, you know, knowing the actual number is important, and here's why. So an actual value for body weight is the first factor that is needed for establishing a nutrition program for any horse, okay? Nutrient requirements that are set forth by the National Research Council, or the NRC, okay, those are based on body weight. Therefore, you have to at least have a general idea for a horse's body weight in order to determine the appropriate set of nutrient requirements to use in order to base your feeding decisions and your feed rations, okay? So body weight is correlated with nutrient requirements and the total feed that is being taken in by the horse. So larger horses have higher nutritional requirements, therefore they must consume more total food than a smaller horse. Now, if you happen to be feeding a barn full of horses, and let's say some horses weigh 1,300 pounds, and some horses weigh 800 pounds, while the majority of them are in the middle, somewhere maybe around 1,000 pounds, okay? You had better not be feeding them all the exact same amount of food, okay? If you do, you will likely find that the larger horses maybe tend to be harder keepers, and you might perceive that the smaller horses are seemingly easy keepers, okay? This is happening to you because you are actually underfeeding the large horses and overfeeding the small horses, while the horses in the middle are that, you know, kind of just at the just right rate. So understanding body weight is also important when it comes to figuring out how to feed your feed, right? How to follow those label guidelines. So many horse owners, you know, they don't consult with an equine nutritionist when they're deciding on a feed program for their horse. Therefore, they must rely on the feeding instructions that are provided by a feed manufacturer, okay? These instructions are required by law to be listed either on the bag or on a tag that is attached to the bag, okay? And each manufacturer is going to list those instructions. They may differ slightly, right? They may differ in terms of the format, but they're always going to be based on body weight. So for example, you know, one feed tag may instruct you to feed 0.5 pound for every 100 pounds of body weight. Okay, that'd be one example. Another example, you know, maybe another feed tag says it instructs you to feed 0.5% of body weight. Okay, well, let's say that an owner, you know, their horse, they estimate their horse weighs 1,000 pounds. Well, for both of these feeding instruction examples, that would mean that you'd be feeding 5 pounds per day to that horse that weighs 1,000 pounds. However, let's say that a horse owner underestimated the body weight of their horse, and that 1,000 pound horse actually weighs 1,250 pounds. Okay. Well, if you do the math on those two labels, that 1,250 pound horse should be getting 6.25 pounds per day of feed, not 5 pounds, right? So that horse would actually be getting underfed. If the horse owner overestimated body weight and that what they thought was a 1,000 pound horse actually weighs 800 pounds, okay, that horse should really be getting 4 pounds per day, not 5 pounds per day. So the horse would be being overfed in that situation. So in the case of underestimating a horse's body weight and feeding too little, a horse can actually end up in a negative energy balance, meaning they're going to begin to lose some weight, they're going to drop in body condition, and then over time, you know, this will cause like the horse's ribs to become visible. You may notice that they're dropping condition over their top line, their neck and their hindquarters might start to look weak. They just look bad overall, right? Well, then in the case of overestimating a horse's body weight and feeding too much feed, okay, a horse will begin to accumulate excess fat and may become overweight or obese. We like to call them easy keepers, right? Well, both situations can have negative effects on the health and performance of a horse. So if we don't have access to a scale, what are the other options? Well, there are several systems that have been established to help estimate body weight. And the most convenient and the most inexpensive option is a weight tape, which estimates body weight based on the circumference of the heart girth. However, this is the most inaccurate method, okay? So a 2002 study by Ellis and Hollins evaluated the accuracy of 4 different weight tapes on 2,000 head of horses, okay, including 112 different breed types. So that's a pretty massive study, right? They found significant differences among the tapes, okay? So I'll drop a link to that study in the show notes just in case anyone's interested in looking at it. But I personally never use weight tapes. I'm just not a big fan of it, because number one, that study said that they're totally inaccurate. And number two, we have better options, okay? So a more preferred method for estimating body weight would be the use of actual calculations, okay, which take into account the heart girth and the length of the horse, right? So that's the limitation with weight tapes. All you're looking at is the heart girth of a horse. But there are some horses who are super long backed, really lanky, really big and long. And then there's other horses that are, you know, built like a brick, right? Like they're really short, they're really compact. And so if you're only measuring that heart girth, you're only taking into account, you know, one measurement of the horse, right? It's not considering the length of the horse. So there was a calculation, there's a calculation that's been developed that considers both the heart girth and the length of the horse, and that gets you a little bit more accurate estimate of the horse's body weight if you are not able to actually get them on a set of live scales. So I will verbalize both of these calculations for you, but then I will also drop them in the show notes, because I know sometimes it's easier for you to go just like copy and paste that. So let's say you want to figure out body weight in kilograms. Okay. I know that we have a lot of listeners who like to operate in kilograms. So I'll start there. What you do is you take the heart girth in centimeters squared. You multiply that by the horse's length in centimeters. You divide that number by 11,880. Okay. And when I say the length of the horse, where you're measuring is from the point of the shoulder to the point of the buttocks. And I'll try to drop some pictures on my social media channels that have arrows and that will point out exactly where to measure for each of these things. Okay, so that was how you get that measurement in kilograms. Now, for all of the listeners that would prefer that measurement be in pounds, here's your calculation. You take the heart girth in inches squared, and you multiply it by the length, also in inches. You take that number divided by 330, okay? There are other methods that should be considered when you are assessing a healthy body weight for your horse. Things like body condition scoring, neck circumference, and also the girth to height ratio. Okay. So the Hennecke body condition scoring system, which is based on a 1 to 9 scale, is like the gold standard, right? In terms of body condition scoring. And it is designed to evaluate specific areas of fat accumulation. Okay. I want to be really clear here. The Hennecke body condition scoring system is not assessing muscle, right? This is an assessment of fat accumulation, right? So there's a difference in a fat horse and a muscled horse. Okay. So in all of this, when we're talking about a horse being obese, we are talking about fat. We are not talking about a heavily muscled horse. Okay. Two totally different things. So the Hennecke scale is going to show you where to look for fat. You know, those areas. So again, I'll drop pictures on the social channels. I'll see if I can, I'm not sure if the podcasting apps will let me drop pictures in the show notes. I'll give it a whirl, but I don't trust that that'll work. So go to those social channels to see these pictures. But basically the places that you look to assess fat in a horse are going to be along the top of the neck, the crest of the neck, the withers, the ribs, behind the shoulders. You want to look for a crease down the back, and then you want to look at the tail head, both sides of the tail head, and around that tail head to see if it's sunken or protruding. And again, there's not one area that is the like end all be all horse is or isn't fat. Horses can carry fat differently, right? So just because, you know, this Hennecke scale is an industry standard, I think it's important to remember that it is still a subjective system. And it is not specifically useful in differentiating these areas of regional, what we call regional adiposity, right? So areas where fat pockets develop, okay? And there are certain fat pockets that can be indicative of disease. For example, heavy fat deposits along the crest of the neck are associated with altered metabolic states, could be related to insulin resistance, equine metabolic syndrome, things like that. So due to that concept, there's actually been another system that was put in place. It's a standardized 0 to 5 cresty neck scale. Okay, so this was developed by Carter and a team of researchers in 2009. And the point there was for it to be a subjective scoring system to help assess regional fat deposits that may indicate health concerns. So again, I'll try to drop pictures and more information on that. Or I'm sure you can just Google it too and find everything you need to look to know. One other tool is the girth to height ratio, the G to H ratio. Okay. So this is similar to body mass index in humans, right? So for this assessment, basically you're taking a measurement of the heart girth circumference divided by the height of the horse, right? So horses are considered overweight if that girth to height ratio is greater than or equal to 1.26. and they are considered obese if that ratio is greater than or equal to 1.29. Okay. Ponies are calculated just a little bit different just because their proportions are slightly different. Ponies would be considered overweight and obese when their girth to height ratio is greater than or equal to 1.33 and 1.38 respectively, right? So overweight at 1.33 and obese at 1.38. Again, I will drop pictures of these scoring systems on the post for this episode on my Facebook channel, and then I'll maybe try to make a few different posts on my Instagram channel because I don't think you can put pictures in the comments. That way you guys can get a visual of where to look to assess body condition and where to measure if you are trying to actually calculate a true body weight of your horse. Okay, so we have covered how to basically figure out how much your horse weighs and then how to make that visual assessment of deciding, you know, whether or not your horse is in the right body condition. Let's say you've done all of that and you've decided that your horse is fat. Okay, now what? First thing you must do, test your hay. Okay, I don't know how many times I've said that in all of my podcasts. I think maybe I should go back and count them at some point, but I say it a lot, right? Test your hay. You have to understand how many calories are coming from the hay. As a general rule of thumb, alfalfa is going to contain the most calories, followed by your cool season grass hays. So that would be things like timothy, brome, orchard grass, fescue, you know, kind of like all those normal, quote, horse hays. And then the lowest calorie hays are typically going to be your warm season species, like the Bermuda grass varieties. Now, keep in mind that that is all those general rule of thumbs or those rankings are all assuming that the hays were cut at, you know, optimum conditions. Any hay, any legume, you know, anything, the longer it grows, the more mature it becomes before it's cut, the lower the calorie content is going to be, okay? The more immature that the plant is, or the younger that it is when it's cut, or the finer and smaller it is, the higher the calorie content will be. So just kind of keep that in mind when you are considering your hays. But always get it tested. It doesn't cost that much money. And if you can possibly purchase, you know, a few months worth of hay at one time, then that certainly makes it worth it for you to spend the $30 or whatever it is to get your hay tested. And there's lots of extension agents and people out there who will test your hay for free, even at least in the United States. So definitely check into those types of resources. So once you have your hay tested and you know how many calories are in each pound or each kilogram, you just do a little bit of math to determine, you know, how many pounds or kilograms of hay that you can feed before you go over your horse's daily calorie requirement. You say you don't know what your horse's daily calorie requirement is, right? So to figure that out, you will need to go to the NRC, so the National Research Council. They actually have a website, which I will put in the show notes, and I will also verbalize it to you right now in case anybody is really good at writing this stuff down fast. Okay, the website is https://nas.edu/nrh/. So go to that website, and then once you're there, what you can do is you click on the tab that says animal specification. You then enter the horse's weight. Now, pay attention here. You are going to be entering that horse's weight in kilograms, not pounds. So make sure that you Google your conversion, right? And for those of you that are not interested in Googling the conversion, what you're going to do if you're going from pounds to kilograms, you just divide by 2.2. Okay. So if your horse weighs 1,100 pounds, that would be the same as 500 kilograms, right? So you put in your 500 kilograms or however many kilograms your horse weighs. Then you select the life stage. Okay. So, you know, in that your options are, you know, growing, in training, you know, light, moderate, heavy work, pregnant, lactating, are they a stallion, or maintenance? And maintenance, for those of you who don't know, maintenance is just a fancy term for saying that your horse is a pasture ornament or a stall ornament, right? They're not under any kind of real work, okay? So they're just maintaining daily life. All right, so let's say that I entered an 1,100-pound horse, which is 500 kilograms. Okay, so I put in 500 kilograms. Let's say I put him at a light training load. His requirements are going to pop up and show that he needs approximately 20 mcals of digestible energy per day, okay? Another way to say instead of 20 mcals or megacals, another way you can say that is 20,000 kilocalories per day, okay? So a lot of times horse people talk about calories, and when they just use the word calories, a lot of times people are talking about kilocalories. So a horse in, you know, a 500 kilogram horse, 1100 pound horse in this light workload needs 20,000 kilocalories per day, okay? So back to the hay. Let's say your hay tested at 900 kilocalories or 0.9 mcals per pound, right? If you take 20 divided by 0.9 or 20,000 divided by 900, okay, you get 22 pounds. That means your horse can eat 22 pounds of that hay per day, and that will meet his entire caloric needs. Well, if you feed this horse 22 pounds per day of hay, and then you also feed a grain on top of it, guess what? You're overfeeding calories, and that contributes to horse becoming overweight and ultimately obese. So you either need to stop feeding the grain and lean on an ultra low calorie diet balancer for the vitamins and minerals. Okay, my personal favorite is 101 Diet Balancer that is made by Stride Animal Health. Your other option would be to reduce the amount of hay you are giving in order to give yourself a little bit of room to add the grain and not go over that 20 mcals per day. Or the last option, you could choose to feed a lower calorie hay so that you can still offer the same volume, but since the hay is lower in calories, you then have room to offer some grain and not go over that daily need. So that last situation, a lot of times I'll do that with people who are feeding a legume like alfalfa. You know, alfalfa provides a lot of calories. And if you've got a horse that's already overweight, a lot of times if you just move that diet to be a more grass-based diet, particularly a warm season grass hay like Bermuda grass, that can pull a lot of calories away kind of effortlessly and really help those horses kind of pull that weight off and get back to a more manageable body weight. Oh, I am starting to lose my voice. I apologize about that. And you guys are just going to have to like bear with me for just a minute while I get this episode finished up. You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's really about managing the number of calories that you're putting into that horse and making sure that what you put in is balanced with what the horse actually needs. Okay. So places where calories will sneak into a horse's diet are probably worth noting as well. One example would be pasture turnout, right? Horses don't just hang out there looking cool in a pasture, right? They eat like the entire time. And when the pasture is green and growing, they can really quickly take in a lot of calories. You may have to, if you're dealing with that situation, you might have to implement a dry lot system where you can rotate your easy keeper on and off of the grass to kind of help manage how many calories are being taken in. Or you could put a grazing muzzle on them so they can't eat as much when they're out there. Something else you need to watch out for are fat supplements and supplements that are designed to create a shiny coat or to provide a lot of omegas. Okay, so oils are basically pure fat. Omegas are omega fatty acids, right? So anything that is fat means lots of calories, right? So if you are managing an overweight or an obese horse and you're trying to provide extra omegas, just make sure that you're building that room for cushion in to have those extra fat calories in the diet, right? Other places where calories can sneak in are from starch and sugar. So things like sugar cubes, oats, molasses lick tubs, apples, carrots, peppermints, you know, any other kind of treat, right? All of those things can really quickly add up to a lot of calories that you might not be considering. Now, if all of this feels slightly overwhelming, I recommend that you reach out to an equine nutritionist, right? I have a team of consultants who will do free nutrition consulting, and they are more than happy to help you decide on a plan to get the calories under control for your horse. So if you're interested in lining up a consultation with one of my team members, you can go online to bluebonnetfeeds.com/nutrition-consult. You know, I think when it comes down to it, horses that are managed at a healthy body weight are going to lead longer, healthier lives. They're going to be less likely to suffer from metabolic diseases and less likely to suffer from performance-related injuries. You know, with tools like weight tapes and body weight calculations and body condition scoring and the cresty neck scoring and the girth to height ratios, you know, even horse owners that don't have access to a weight scale are capable of maintaining proper body weight and condition of their horse. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be sure to leave a post on my social pages where you guys can comment and share away regarding this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.